I'd ask you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 130 as we prepare for our lesson tonight. Psalm 130 will be the text that we will study together this evening. It's been a difficult day for our spiritual family here, as has been mentioned. We've missed our brother Frank already and love the McClellans so very much, and we'll be praying for them in the days ahead. The song that was just led made me think of the fact that when darkness comes, as was stated in the song, that Jesus Christ rose from the grave and day burst forth from that darkness. And no doubt we feel that darkness, no doubt we feel that pain, but yet with the understanding that truly the Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible for that not to be the state that we have to remain in, and to rejoice in the hope that we have of eternal day and of life everlasting. And we are thankful for the life of our brother Frank. Look forward to seeing him again. Thank the Lord. You know, as I think about that idea, I think about Psalm 130, and that really is what this psalm relates to. And, you know, I'm not a very good person about waiting for things. I tend to, and I think our society probably doesn't engender very much a capacity for us to be able to wait on things. We want things immediately. We tend to have a, you know, now that I have to put my zip code in when I want to get gas, that's too much for me. You know, I want it now. I don't want to have to go through that process, but that's just the process. But a lot of times we do have a hard time in waiting for things. Psalm 130 is about waiting. It's about waiting for the Lord. And that theme runs through the Old Testament, and it also runs through the New Testament. And for a few minutes tonight, I want for us to look at that idea in this psalm. This psalm kind of holds a special meaning for me as it talks about the idea of a watchman. There's a long story, but I spent the longest night of my life in the jungle of Mexico in front of a watchtower as we were trying to get away from potentially what was a dangerous situation in the jungle with some folks called the Zapatistas. And so we were getting out of there as fast as we could. Fortunately, we came across an army base that was an installation that was a little further outside of town. And in the early hours of the morning, we drove up and stayed there in front of that watchtower all night. And I couldn't have wanted to see day more than that particular night, for morning to finally come and to know that we were safe once again. And this psalm actually talks about that a little bit. Let's read it together. I'm going to put it up on the screen for us. Psalm 130. He says, "Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Lord, or O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." This psalm talks about, and I think is written by one who was waiting. He was waiting for something very important. And in a very dark time, he was anxious for that change to come. He was anxious for something new. And in that darkness, he was anxious for morning to come. And so he speaks in this place as one looking for daylight. In verse 3, he says that, thankfully, he knows that the Lord is a forgiving God, that he is a merciful God, that he is able to forgive. And he is a God certainly of justice and certainly to be feared, but he is not a God that is marking down and keeping track and holding a record that's never going to be removed. Our God is a forgiving God. Thanks be to him. And so he says, if he was like that, who could stand before him? Nobody certainly could do that. But because of that forgiveness, because of that understanding of that forgiveness, he's waiting for the Lord. He trusts in Him. He knows that something is going to change. And he knows that one day it's going to be better. And so although he's going through what could be perhaps a difficult time in his life, he is seeking for the Lord. And you can see that there's an emphasis on that in verse 5 where he says, I wait for the Lord. Yes, my soul waits. There's the emphasis. So he is waiting. This is from the depth of his being. This is a vehement desire that he has. This is a deep want that he has for himself. And you can see that there is an urgency there. And that there is hope in the Word of the Lord, that the Lord will rescue him and that the Lord will come. And so he waits. And you can see in verse 6 that this repetition that is made there in verse 6. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. I suppose that most all of us watch for the morning. We always look forward to a new day. But there's more involved here than just somebody wanting a new day of life. Wanting for maybe that particular circumstance to end and wanting a new day to begin. And so as you go through the psalm, you can see the heartbeat of the psalmist, and it's getting faster and faster as he thinks about this escape and something new. And then in that next verse, in verse 7, you can see that heartbeat faster and faster as he appeals to the Lord and says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption. And that's what the scripture reading, Isaiah 55, talked about. You can't buy that with money. You cannot purchase that with something that you possess. That is an impossibility. But God can provide it to us through our obedient faith. And so Psalm 130 and verse 6 is the verse I really want for us to notice tonight. This idea of those that watch for the morning. And some of your versions may read a little bit differently than that and help to emphasize exactly what's being referred to there. The idea is not just anybody that's looking forward to a new day, but really in that word, in that Hebrew word, carries the idea of a watchman. Like Ezekiel 33, a watchman that would be scanning and looking over the horizon to see if there was any threat coming. And so a watchman would watch for the morning. Or perhaps your version might say a sentry. Here's somebody that's looking out. Somebody that is employed in that process of looking to what is coming. And so a watchman, a sentry, someone that watches for the Lord. What is it about that idea that is so important? About that idea of a watchman? More than a watchman or a sentry longs for the dawn. Well, the first thing I'd like to suggest very quickly is that I think the job is easier when it's done in the light. You know, his senses are limited during the nighttime. He cannot see. He is blinded by darkness. He is unable to ascertain what is the danger that may be lurking out there in the dark. That makes his job more difficult. And so as he is thinking about this as a sentry, as a watchman longs for light so that he might see the first sound of the birds as they wake up in the morning. And maybe a rooster off in the distance that's crowing. And maybe just that little pinprick of light that's beginning to come up that gives the realization that this is about to get easier. That it's not going to stay so difficult. That I'm not going to be blinded and in the dark forever. My environment is changing. And that change of circumstance makes life easier. Folks, I want you to know that the way of the transgressor is hard. I've seen it far too many times. But when you have the light and you're walking in the light and you're doing right, it makes it so much easier. It makes life that much easier. And when we're walking in the light, when the light of the world is directing our steps and aiding our vision, We can see with more clarity what is in our environment. And we can make choices better. And we can take steps better to prevent what might occur if we can see those things. When we're in the light of His revelation, and that has come into our lives, and His will is known, the way is easier. The job, the marriage, recreation, money matters, whatever it is made easier by that light. So, you know, when a sentry is longing for the morning, that's one of the things, I think, the reasons that he's longing for that is that he knows that his job is about to get a lot easier. I don't know what his shift is, what time of the morning he might get off. Maybe it's 9 o'clock in the morning, but at least he'll have 3 hours or 4 hours in which he can see and be able to process better what is going on around him. The same thing is true for us. We need the light. We need that. And the job is easier when we're there. The truth of the matter is that the enemy is going to attack more likely at nighttime. Just like anywhere else. That's when someone is more vulnerable. And so the enemy is going to attack more frequently at nighttime in low visibility. Now, that's when thieves break in and steal. Isn't it? That's usually when those things occur. That's when bad things begin to happen. The wicked come out at night and nothing good much happens after 1 o'clock in the morning. Some folks that drive for Uber or something like that might be able to attest to that. Very little sometimes that's good that occurs in that darkness. The enemy comes out at night. And the identification and proper planning can only be carried out when you can see the enemy and when you know who he is. Very difficult to ascertain who the enemy is when we're in the dark. But when we're in the light, we can. In Psalm 30 and verse 5, back up a few pages here. In Psalm 30 and verse 5, you know, nighttime is scary sometimes. We don't know what's out there. And that's an uneasy feeling to have. We long for the morning when we can see. The psalmist here, David, in Psalm 30 and verse 5, he says, "For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Folks, if you can just wait till morning. If you can just wait till morning. I've talked with people that have wanted to commit suicide, that are just at the very last point. But if they can just wait till morning, and I've seen it time and time again, where if you'll just give it a day, that circumstances very likely will change. Wait for day to come, and wait till things are not so dark, and then, you know, maybe you can see things differently than you do now. And that's when the enemy attacks us at nighttime, perhaps literally and figuratively. But sadness there in this context was at night and weeping at night, but joy comes in the morning. The nicest thing, I guess, for a watchman that's longing for the morning is that his shift is about to end. And that now, as a result of that, things are about to change for him. He has gone through the evening time. I used to work night shift. I don't know how many of you work night shift now or have worked night shift in the past. I used to in a cabinet factory in Atlanta. And I worked back in the back in this cabinet factory, and my job was to run what was called a SCMI saw. And basically that was a saw that you would bring in big sheets of MDF or melamine material, and you would run it through this giant saw. It was the longest and most difficult job I think that I've ever had, and a very hot job even at night to do that. But there was a couple of big bay doors by the back there, and I always had those open during the summertime, especially as I was working back there. And I remember just longing for that first ray of light that would come through those double doors and hit that stall, the red on that stall, and I could tell by the color of that things were about to change because the light was beginning to come in and my shift was almost over. And that was a great feeling for me. And how I longed to see that light where I could go home, we talked about this morning, and where I could rest and where I could see my family. When there's darkness, we always need to remember that day is coming. And when we think of that in terms of spiritually, in terms of eternity, there is an eternal day that's coming. And if we can wait, if we can wait till that morning, things are going to be good. Things are going to be wonderful. And our work will come to an end. And how great for that sentry that would be watching out, that now he knows that the possibility for harm has come to an end. Over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, very quickly. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. We experience pain in this life. We experience darkness and difficulty in this life. But folks, with a view to the morning. The morning is coming. And how we long for that morning. Maybe sometimes that's literally a 24-hour period of time, and we long for a new day. But especially we think of that eternal day, that morning, that light that comes as a result of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us through His grace and through His mercy. We long for that. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1 helps us understand that that remains for us. Chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have come short of it." Day is coming, and that's a wonderful thing. May God help us to look forward to that day, to not check out early, but to persist and to endure. A little later in the book of Hebrews, as you turn over a few pages into chapter 10, we need to understand that we don't turn back, that there is that brightness that will come and that will change our whole world, so to speak. Verse 36 of Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 36, or rather we might back up to verse 35 where it talks about this idea. "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Stay on watch duty. Wait on the Lord, for He is coming. Maybe there's someone tonight that needs to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As surely as morning comes from darkness, and we know that in terms of our physical world, same will be true spiritually. God has promised that. And we're so thankful for that. Great things will come in the morning of joy that we look forward to. If you're not a Christian, we hope that you might change that circumstance, that you will be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, being baptized in water for the remission of your sins, confessing His name before men, and deciding to change your life, repenting of those things that you have done that are not according to His will, to become a new man. And if that's you, we hope that you might do that tonight. Why don't you come? I'll be standing.